Spirit leads to bring forth from my heart what He has downloaded into my heart today. I ask this in Jesus' name, that it will bring glory and honor to Him and not to me. Amen? Amen.
There's okay. One more piece to that last vision. I'm just reminded, I heard the word bridal chamber.
Bridal chamber?
Yes.
Oh.
That's the arch. That's cool.
Neat.
Thank you. I'm glad the Lord brought it back. We would have been without, huh? Hallelujah. I want to reiterate a little bit of what I shared with you guys on Sunday. How many got a different view of themselves because of Sunday's word?
A different view. I just went in deeper.
It went in deeper. Okay. Okay. Basically, today I was, even when I first got out of bed, it came into my heart that we sometimes operate so much in our flesh that we don't take into consideration where Jesus is in every one of our trials and hardships. And I want to take actually a couple of scriptures to kind of verify a few things. So we're going to be looking at three different versions of the same message. One is in Luke chapter 8, verse 22. And the other one is in Matthew 8, 23. And then in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And they all have to do with our God taking a nap. Okay? And the vision that I had was that we were that boat, that little boat that He was on. And literally our hearts had a little cushion and He's just laying down, sleeping. And a lot of times we think God is sleeping, but we think of Him outside. We don't think of Him as being on the inside. So when I asked Jesus to come into my heart, I didn't put a mental picture of Him as a man coming in. I really don't know what kind of picture I had. I just remember saying, Jesus, come on in, because you've got a mess and I can't heal it. I can't change it. I can't do anything about it except, would you just come in? And I kind of knew it would be a spiritual thing. But today's vision was totally different. It was Him napping on a cushion in the back of my heart. So would you take a chance right now, put your right hand over your heart and say, Lord Jesus, it's okay for you to take a nap.
It's okay for you to take a nap.
Even when you're sitting on the pillow of my heart.
Even when you're sitting on the pillow of my heart.
Just resting.
Just resting.
Ready to go for the ride.
Ready to go for the ride.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, here you go. Verse 22 of Luke 8. One day Jesus said to His disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So I want to remind you that if you have a red letter edition, it's written in red. Those are the Lord's words. Let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. And as they sailed, He fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped. And they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke Him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, And the storm subsided, and all was calm. Verse 25 is in red letters. Where's your faith? He asked his disciples. And in fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him." Like he's out of the box. He speaks, but they had to wake him up. And the Lord was reminding me that I do very much the same thing sometimes. I don't trust my words. I trust his word. And I'm waiting for something to happen rather than making something happen by the words of my mouth. So let's back it up and go to Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Then he got into the boat. Now remember, these are three different individuals writing about the same experience, but I want you to see a little bit of the details. He got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. This guy's got a different attitude, doesn't he? How dare he take a nap? The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And he replied, watch the reply, it's the same message. "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" There's the additional word. This guy is tormented, and he's letting him know. Amen? Then he got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this?" Notice that's the same message. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." When he arrived on the other side in the region of Gadarene, I'm not going to go there. I just want you to realize they did get there. Okay? Now, one more. Mark 4:35. "That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Just as he was in the boat, there were also other boats with him." So now it gives you a little bit different picture. You see there's a little more people around. "A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat." Another addition. The waves are not just high, they're coming into the boat. Amen? "So that it was nearly swamped." Now does that tell you why they're panicking? "Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion." He's still napping. Same message. Got it? On a cushion. And that's when I said, "Lord, my heart's not a bad space. You can take a nap anytime. The only thing is, don't sleep too long." The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" When you think about it, I mean, are they human or are they not? They're human. Come on. Hey, we're going to drown here. What are you doing? Snoozing. Okay? He got up. Notice the same message here. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified And each asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Now, you know, I've learned to experience the Lord in multiples of ways. I've known him for many years. I don't always understand what he's up to, but I do know this. I sure wake him up more than I care to talk about. I bother him with the smallest detail as long as I'm aware he's there, which I do know he is, and I bug him. Is he angry at them because they can't talk? No. He knows they can talk, but they haven't used their authority yet. They haven't spoken to the wind and they haven't spoken to the waves. And that's the problem. Some of you are in a boat and the water's everywhere. And it sucks. I mean, you're getting wet, man. You don't like it. But the Lord's right there taking a snooze. Do you know, if they would have just remembered, he told us to go to the other side. But they weren't focused on that. They were focused on the water, and they were focused on the waves, and they were focused on the wind. And they were also focused on something else. How many know what it was? Themselves and the fear of death. They were shaking. They weren't ready. Come on, please say amen.
Amen.
Because you see, sometimes we think everything is going to fall apart. Death is the only answer, and nobody wants that answer. But you know what? I'm going to give you a few clues. I'm going to show you Peter because he was in the boat. In Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. This is Jesus. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, that means they didn't go to university, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Why? Because somebody got healed. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Jesus, fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. And enduing him with boldness and courage, he was able to speak for the first time to the whole of the area. They were not accustomed to listening to somebody who was an average fisherman talk to them with power and boldness. Now go to Acts chapter 4, verse 19. Again, Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God." So they're being tested and they're being able now to respond. Could they respond when they were in the boat to the waves? No. They were scared. Something happened to them. Amen? Verse 20. Same Acts 4, verse 20. We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Making him a channel of blessings to the sick, Acts 5, verse 15. Acts 5, verse 15. As a result, people brought the sick into the street, laid them on the beds and mats, so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. You say, wait a minute. This is the same guy that's in the boat that's waking up the Lord who's trying to take a nap. Yeah. What happened to him? He hit a brick wall, didn't he? His leader chose to die on a cross, and he was ready for a new government for his nation. There's some Christians waiting for a new government for our nation. We should not disturb the one who's asleep in our heart. He's told us we're going to make it to the other side. He told us not to look at the circumstances, but to really keep our eyes on the one that's taking a nap. Where is he sleeping? Right in my heart. I can be calm in the midst of a storm. I can speak to the waves. I can speak to the wind. I can speak to my brain. And I can say, rest. Tonight you better sleep, because tomorrow you got to get up. You better speak to your heart and say, be at peace. The Lord's taking a nap. It's time for you to join him. And you will make it to the other side. Whatever storm you're in, it's not too big for the Lord. Please, do I get any... Are you guys asleep? Thank you. Okay. Acts 9:40. There's a little girl that just died. And watch Peter obey the Holy Spirit. Acts 9:40. Peter sent them all out of the room. Why? Unbelievers. Unbelief will kill you. Unbelief will cancel a miracle. Fear will cancel a miracle. Unbelief is deadly. Acts 9:40, Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She obeyed, she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. You say, why are you giving me that? Because that's tomorrow. That's the beginnings of the miracles that God is going to produce. That's the tomorrows that we're going to be heading into. And when that happens, you think you've seen persecution now? How many know of a few funeral homes that like to have funerals? It's their sustenance. Yeah? Funerals are the only way that they can make a living. How would you like to see the majority of the funeral homes in our area go out of business? Yeah. Yeah. Might empty out a few nursing homes too. Because you see, I remember there was a prophecy that was given. 1979 or so, 1979 or 80, that the saints would be so full of God, so full of the Holy Spirit, that they would walk into one end of the hospital and the patients would be walking out the other end. Tell me if that's going to bring peace or war. Yeah. What do you think it's going to produce?
War.
War. I drove by Bay State the other day and I saw this incredible construction process that's going on. It is absolutely humongous. They're expecting a lot of people to get sick. And when God steps into the picture, guess what? Huh? Well, they're going to be in problems, aren't they? The Holy Spirit was what happened to those that were in that boat. It happened in Acts chapter 2. And if you look at the Holy Spirit and his abilities, you'll see that he can give you an ability to trust. He can give you visions. He can give you words of knowledge. He can give you dreams. He can give you all that you need for the trip to the other side. You say, well, I don't know if I like this. I can tell you truthfully. When you and I realize that he's taking a nap and that it's okay for him to take a nap, Wait for him to wake up. He'll give you instructions. That's the bottom line. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. That's all I got.